It's the week of January 22nd, week three in commercial real estate this year, I guess.
When's our next vacation?
Probably next week. I mean, January is kind of a blow-off month in commercial real estate. All the CRE bros go on their ski trips to Telluride and Aspen.
Well, don't.
Jackson Hole.
Don't rub it in. You were just in Tahoe.
I was in Tahoe. That's right. I was in Tahoe.
But you don't ski anymore.
I don't ski anymore. I gambled and worked out. Actually had a business meeting or had a lunch.
Yeah.
A brunch. I had brunch.
The prolific skier.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very interesting guy. We actually have his partner coming in tomorrow for the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So.
Zeke.
Jeff Z. All right. Well, let's get into it. This week on the economic calendar, we got initial jobless claims coming out on Thursday at 8:30 a.m. Last week, it was 187. This week, they're predicting 200. But, I mean, doesn't sound like people are laying off a lot of people. So, you know, just to reiterate, the jobless claims refers to the government report on the number of workers applying for unemployment benefits for the first time following a job loss. So, anyways. Economy is rolling still.
Yeah.
New home sales comes out on Thursday at 10. This is the new residential sales. This is an economic indicator that measures the sales of newly built homes. New home sales is viewed as a lagging indicator of demand, but is still closely watched by investors for clues about broader movements in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
The forecast is 650,000 new home sales. Previous was 590K. So maybe 60,000 more people got themselves a home.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have pending home sales. So the pending homes, that comes out on Friday at 10 a.m. Pending home sales index is created by the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and it tracks home sales where the contract is signed but is not yet closed. So this is pretty much updating MLS data. It's up 2% from the previous. The forecast is up 2%.
I toured a house this week.
You did?
Yeah. It was actually, it was an open house. Good activity. I was pretty surprised.
Yeah. I mean,
people are out and about looking.
They are. So the Dow hit all-time high last week. Closed out last week at 37,863. Jeez. That's about 70 basis points up from the previous week. The S&P also hit an all-time high at 48 and closed out the week at 48,39. That's up 1.15%. The NASDAQ closed out at 15,310, 2.2% increase over week. And crude is up from 72.68 to close out last week at 73.25. That's about 77 basis points. And basis points makes me sound smart. So
yeah, do you feel smarter when you say bips?
Bips. Yeah.
You saw that? Did you see that?
I did.
Thread?
I did. I said, "You damn right, I do." I feel a lot smarter when I say that. The 5-year Treasury went back up about 5.3% to close out the week at 4.04. So it's dipping down into the high threes and then back up to the low fours. It's kind of fluctuating in there right now. 10-year was up 3.9% to close out at 4.131 and SOFR remaining at 5.31.
As debt markets stabilize, I think there's just been a lot of chatter of, more activity this year, blah, 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 blah. But like, there's so much dry powder that's been sidelined. Like, be careful for what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because these big groups, man, once there's any indication that they can get some leverage, they're going to come back in pretty heavy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I hope they don't. Honestly, I kind of hope rates hold.
Me too. I've loved the ability to play where we're at right now. Yeah. A lot of flexibility. I mean, we like having a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
But it's nice not having your face pressed on the grill all the time.
Yeah.
Where you can just kind of like, you can take like a day or two to like take a breath and evaluate.
Well, cheap money allowed a lot of people to get into this business. Mm-hmm. And I'd like for them to stay out of the business.
Yeah. I like when we find something and we're the only guy kind of like we got an LOI out really quick and we're really the only person in the mix.
Yeah.
And then I feel really good though. Like we offered on something pretty big last week. Mm-hmm. I know we both know who the other players are in it, but it's like, I feel good like competing against them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because of where debt's at.
No, we're growing up. So real estate stocks, the week, real estate diversified, it was up 1.96 to be the leader. And REIT Hotel and Motel was up 1.47 for second, and real estate development was third. Real estate services came in at fourth. I kind of thought like a real estate services bet. Like you got to think like, if you started buying up some Marcus and Millichap and JLL and CBRE right now and waiting for capital markets lights to turn back on, you could probably start accumulating some stock pretty cheap. And when they start ratcheting down debt, capital markets investment sales will step up. And
yeah. Did you see Schwartzman though, when he was over in Davos? His interview?
No.
I'll send it to you. They're about to become sharks. He commented on something like that, where there's just been some distress on publicly traded corporations. And I bet you they're eyeballing a couple of bigger services companies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Cushman's been struggling with their debt.
Yeah.
It's all public.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Marcus and Millichap, their volume's probably significantly down. Revenue's probably down. I wouldn't be surprised, because he makes a comment that European actual real assets are very attractive to buy right now.
Yeah.
Because they had rates at zero for so long, and now they're at 5 or 6. So that's a pretty dramatic challenge for them to operate. So buying assets over there is really interesting. But he was just saying businesses over here are a lot more attractive to buy because there's some distress from publicly traded corporations. So,
yeah. No. Davos would be interesting to go. How does one get an invite to that?
Damn, man, I don't know. I feel like you got to be Illuminati.
I'm going to find a way to go.
You should.
I'm going to be like, I'm just going to go to Davos and hang out. I want to go to Switzerland. I love Switzerland. I went there once when I was 15. I thought it was the coolest place in the world and never been back.
I've never been. I've heard it looks really cool.
It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Well, maybe one day we'll be on the invite list to Davos.
Yeah.
Get the PJ ready. We're going to Davos.
Come on, people.
All right. For you gambling degenerates, football. Football picks. All right. We took Houston in Houston versus Baltimore. Lost. Thought I was going to win that bet. It's pretty good. Pretty good up until about the second half. They kind of blew it away. Mm. Green Bay at San Fran. Took Green Bay in the points.
Yeah.
Won that. Although San Fran won, which I was honestly the outcome I was hoping for. Tampa at Detroit. We took Detroit at -6, won that bet. And Kansas City at Buffalo. We took Kansas City in the points, and we won outright. So 3-1. It's pretty good. Pretty good NFL playoff run.
Considering the week prior, I think we were goose eggs, right?
Yeah, I think we had one win out of four. I did bet on UFC this weekend, man, and I got waxed. So,
man, I feel like that's a sport. If you're not like just super in all the time and really have an intimate knowledge of
the bet, I like in UFC is the over under on rounds.
Oh, okay,
because I like that, and I love the underdog money line when it's like at 600.
You're speaking Chinese to me at this point.
Well, okay. So the underdog, let's say it's, 600. That means if you bet 100, you win 600 if they win outright. Well, in the UFC, someone can knock somebody the hell out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that can just happen. So that's the other thing, too, is like you can pick the guy you think's going to win, but everybody can just get knocked out,
One clip of the chin.
Yeah. And so I like the over-under bet because I'm like, okay, these guys, this is a championship fight, 5 rounds.
Yeah.
I bet, the over-under's 2.5 rounds. Like, I feel pretty good about that. This week, Kansas City is at Baltimore. Baltimore is given 3 points. I'm taking my homie I don't know, man. That guy does not, you know, yes. Do you realize this? He's been starting there for 6 years.
Okay.
Yesterday was the first road playoff game he's had to play.
Really?
And they've never had to play on the road. That was the first one that won it. Those games are always incredible. The Bills versus the Chiefs games are always just awesome. And then Detroit is at San Fran. The spread is -7.
I feel like that's going to be a really solid game.
I think it's going to be a great game. Yeah. And I really want to see Detroit win.
Yeah.
But I really want San Francisco to win just because I have a buddy that's a coach there. And
okay.
I'd love to see him win a Super Bowl.
Both those programs are really storied. You know, it's like the 70s, 80s, 90s, like early 90s kind of come. Oh, Cowboys ruled in the early 90s. But like it would be good to like get some new blood in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah. It'd be cool.
Props to Detroit, man. That's exciting for them. That place needed something.
You ever been up there?
No, I don't ever want to go.
You're not missing. It's sad.
Yeah, I bet.
It's really sad.
Okay, well, it's time for the commercial real estate bro term of the week.
Bro.
This was a very funny one. We saw a portfolio, or I don't know, I guess it's a single building, come to market. But I saw a post on LinkedIn about a building in Brook Hollow, which I'm very familiar with, and it advertised it as part of the Brook Hollow micro market. What the fuck does that mean?
Are we re-terming submarkets to micro markets?
Do these capital markets brokers, do they have like a division that is like think up buzzwords like strong commitment to site, chunky, like bite size,
vintage?
Like man, there's got to be like a think tank of these people coming up with these kind of terms. Micro market. I don't even know what that means, and I don't even want to hear anybody use it again, honestly. But I thought that was pretty funny.
I can... Like Turnpike?
Yeah.
I would say that's kind of a micro market. Like you got 400,000 or 500,000 feet where like those businesses are like feeding off of each other, sure.
But Brook Hollow is 22 million feet.
So they're calling Brook Hollow the micro market.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't get it.
It's a submarket in Dallas.
Yep. Micro market. It's micro.
It's tiny.
So you can own the micro. I sold the building though. That building.
You sold it?
I sold it. Oh, I got paid on it. I didn't.
Did you sell it to them or did you sell it to the person before?
I was working on it with a person before and then I sold a lot of intel on it after. That didn't sound right. These guys were dropping it. They gave me a lot of the intel to go sell it. They were buddies of mine. They're like, hey, we're not going to buy it. Go sell it to somebody else. So I gave it to somebody else, and I got on a call with the girls, and I was like, hey, look, this is where the state of the affairs is. So I didn't really rep them going through forward in it. Yeah. So,
actually, but you made a solid handoff.
Gwen repped them, and then I ended up, he paid me on it.
Oh, that's good.
So I kind of helped, you know, facilitate getting it done. So. And, you know, when I was telling him about the deal, I said, you get to own in the micro market of Brookhollow.
Micro market.
Okay, so here's an interesting, I thought this was pretty freaking vulture-esque. Brookfield foreclosed on a Veritas portfolio. They had the debt on it, and they foreclosed on them.
Oh, man.
A $464 million uncontested bid at the courthouse steps in San Francisco. Could you imagine having the stroke to step up and be like, I mean, who's going to come contest that? Because you got to show up with the money.
Yeah.
Like now.
Yeah, today.
Like, you got like 3 hours.
Wire your earnest money.
Yeah. No. Wire all of it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. You just bought it. This isn't like you don't get an inspection on this deal.
That's not like the Flatiron building fiasco.
No.
Okay.
So they bought 2,150 units at $464 million. What is that per unit?
How many?
464 million. 215,000 per unit.
That doesn't feel bad.
San Francisco. I mean, although that place is pretty teetering on.
Is it pretty poopy?
Yeah.
You know, they have apps at that place that like show you where the human feces is on the sidewalks. You ever heard that before? You could download an app apparently, and like people go on there and like
just add crowd. To
yeah, they're just like, oh yeah, there's poop here on the sidewalk, and like you can.
Oh, it could be like Waze where they tell you where the cops are. They just tell you where the poop is, so you can step around the poop.
Yeah, that's apparently there's something out there like that.
Man, just a lot of default in multifamily. I feel like all the news is default, default, default in multifamily.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, guys bought at 3 and debt's now cap rates are 5.5, 6s.
I still think, though, the other problem that these apartment operators have is insurance. Insurance is just skyrocketing on them, and they can't do anything about it.
You can't escape. Uh-uh. That's a death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
That and appraisals for taxes.
Yeah.
So just eat you alive.
I thought this was some interesting news that Wilbur Narduzzi would find appreciative.
Uh-huh.
The final World Cup game will be played in Dallas at AT&T Stadium.
Apparently you have to get on a raffle for
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They're not, you can't buy tickets. That's why I've heard through the grapevine. Buddy of mine from Mexico sent me that. He's like, dude, this is awesome. He's like, I'm gonna throw my name in a raffle. I was like, oh, that's a different way of getting in the mix. So
any UCRE bros have any hookups on some World Cup tickets?
I would gladly take it. Greatly appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Bella, don't come in.
Too.
Don't come in that day. You need tickets, Bella?
Bella needs tickets too, guys.
Yeah. She does all your leases when you're leasing your property. So hook her girl up.
So, man, that would be kind of cool to go to a World Cup final.
It would be super cool. Yeah. I've got a pretty, when I'm in Italy in 2.5 weeks, I got a pretty good lineup. I'm seeing Roma play Inter Milan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number 1 and number 7 in the Italy rankings right now. And then seeing Lazio, which is the crosstown rival in Rome, play Bayern Munich, which is the perennial powerhouse in Germany. In Rome, both at Stadio Olimpico. I'm pretty juiced.
I want to go to a European soccer game.
You should.
I watched and I highly recommend this to anybody, the Netflix documentary on David Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good. Yeah. I didn't realize what a badass he was.
Dude, he was incredible.
He was like Tom Brady.
Yes.
He was the Tom Brady of European soccer.
Well, the craziest thing is, I don't remember it because I was too small, but like just the energy around him all the time in the public eye.
Yeah.
Nothing like ever seen before.
It's kind of like Taylor Swift in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, no wonder, it's just too much. But
you know what's cool about it, though, is him and his wife are still together.
Yeah.
So
a little hiccup there in the middle, but
yeah.
Oh, they never really confirmed
that. They never confirmed that happened.
Yeah.
I don't know that they probably wanted to openly talk about that if it did.
Yeah. But no, you should. It's like, you know, it's, you can fly to London from here and catch some really good games. So it's
But I wonder what the impact on the Dallas economy, the final for the World Cup is.
Huge.
I mean,
huge. The Hispanic population here, ooh. Huge. Huge.
Yeah.
Like big. It's big, 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 big time.
That's so cool. That's really cool.
It will be really awesome to see that. But
what you were looking at a story before we started here. What were you looking at?
The Schwartzman clip.
Yeah.
Bella, can we tag this in the show notes? Is that possible? I'll send it to Bella so it's there, but it's a really interesting take. He's really interested in European assets. Obviously, we don't play over there, but and his just his thoughts while he's there on what interest rates are doing and then what they're kind of looking at. So they went on a buying spree last year.
Have you ever read the book, The King of Capital?
No.
It's pretty much the rise and fall and the rise again of Blackstone, how Steven and his partner, I can't remember who his partner is, they started it. But I mean, it's literally them and they started and they raised $1 billion fund day one. It's pretty interesting. It's a lot of leverage buyout stuff, but it's a good book.
Yeah, they crushed him. He's worth almost $40 billion. They manage $1 trillion worth of assets.
I bought a new book this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I sent you this.
You did.
I sent you in Slack.
Oh, in Slack, direct
to me? I sent you an article in Slack.
Oh, I saw that. Sorry, I read the article.
But anyways, there's a book called The Texas Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it. I'm reading it. It's pretty interesting. So
yeah, that was a really interesting Reed with Henry Cisneros.
Henry Cisneros used to be the San Antonio mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a fund out of New York now or something.
Yeah, but it sounds like he lives and works in San Antonio.
Yeah. But anyways, he wrote a book called The Texas Triangle, and it's pretty cool, which is, I think, going to be our new branding piece.
I have a word that I got from in there. I'm not going to share it now because that means we lost the ammo for next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a word in there.
Okay, good. Good.
So,
yeah, let's bifurcate episodes with that word.
For sure.
So,
but
anyways, it's a pretty cool book. I bought a hardcover. I bought a Kindle version. I bought a hardcover for the office so you can peruse through the economic power of the triangle. So,
Peterson. And I think that, I'm just looking at the Blackstone. I think that's the other guy he founded it with.
Peter Peterson.
What a name. Jonathan Gray is the guy who's kind of doing a lot of the real estate, but.
No, King of Capital is a pretty good book. If you ever want to read a book on the plane to Europe.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to try to sleep, but.
Oh, you know, one thing I want to talk about is DeSantis did bow out.
Yeah, last night. Very late. It's weird how they do that. Do you think they do it so they don't get a lot of attention?
I don't know. Kind of disappointed he bowed out. I guess he's going to look for the next run. I think he would have been the tame version of Trump. You know, I think he would have. I liked Trump. I think the problem with Trump, though, is he divides a nation too much. I think he just
Twitter fingers.
Well, I mean, he's not on Twitter anymore, but he did at that time. But I think he just divided the nation. I think it's kind of impossible to overcome that now.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like the blemish is there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he'll do a fine job, but I think DeSantis would equally have done a good job and maybe not had that
polarization,
consternation or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, just the friction that Trump brings, but oh well.
Yeah.
If we can get that bonus depreciation back. I saw an article on Twitter. They're like, man, this starts coming back. I sent it to D Styles. I was like, I know you're always going to hear about this stuff. Yeah. So.
No, you know, he'll do stuff that he doesn't do things that don't benefit him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As many layers as there are between him and his operating company right now, you know, he's thinking like, how can I have influence without actually having influence.
Well, it's for the American people.
Of course. Of course it is. But he's a schemer, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw that. And then Strip Mall Guy just revealed himself this morning.
He did. He revealed himself, and he looks very similar to his cartoon character.
I got to look up the Real Deal article, but.
But he looks about like what I thought he would look like. Because I kind of think you always kind of look like your avatar, and so that makes sense.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Skinny white good dude. Upper West Side, there was a ton of
outing of anonymous accounts a couple month or two ago. This guy got busted with the ghost account saying he was a debt broker out of Austin or
Constant Raise Dan.
Yeah. But it was just a ghostwriter from another guy from a land. Some guy pieced it all together and just outed him and ended that page like in.
Oh, there's been no more postings.
No, it's
done. He was constant.
Yeah, he was constantly posting Dan.
Well, somebody tried to bring down Bob. How do you pronounce his name? Knackle?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess he hired somebody to kind of like coach him through it. I would say they're more of a coach.
Yeah.
But Bob's writing it all out himself. I mean, the guy is a content machine. All the years of like just, but they try to pull him down too. Like, oh, you're not authentic because, you know, you got this woman named Mo or I don't know. Mo's the name of the person helping him, but you've got this person helping you, blah, blah, blah. It's like he's writing the content. This is an older guy.
You know what it is? You know what it is?
Yeah.
Hey, this guy's the top broker in the world.
Yeah.
He's literally probably the top commercial real estate broker in the world.
Actually,
he probably doesn't have time to sit on Twitter all day like some people do. He's probably going and doing a $50 million deal.
Yeah.
Like, regular. And you know what? Mm-hmm. He's very responsive.
Extremely.
And, like, I sent him an email about seeing the format of his case studies. He sent it to me immediately.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
So, I bet he does a lot of his posting, if not 100% of it. Because it's pretty consistent in the same voice. If you read it, I digest as much of his content as possible because it's just really good, wholesome stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's just, it's meat and potatoes. There's nothing fancy about it.
No.
You make your calls, you show up, you shave your face, you keep calling, you do it for 40 years, you become very wealthy. What else do you want to know? Like, you know, it's just very meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
So I was kind of disappointed. Have you ever seen his baseball card?
That is so pimp. That is so genius. It is so pimp.
So, so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I was looking at it, like billions of dollars in a year of transactions over like, what, 50 to 100 transactions. So he's doing two deals a week for $2 billion in a year. That's, I want to say, that's so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, dude,
he's a machine.
Yeah, he's a total machine. So,
a machine.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a Bob Knackle fan.
Huge.
When we go back to New York, I'm going to go see him.
Let's go see him.
I'm going to get on his calendar. Well, that's kind of all I got.
That's it. Wrap it up. Let's get our week going.
Just remind everybody, we're buying in Houston now, but we're also cutting pref checks. We're looking for single tenant net lease type deals.
Yeah.
Operators, sponsors that need some pref equity on that, or if you need some first lien debt positions on a Texas asset, we'll look at that. Don't call us for an office, but anything else, we'll take a look at.
And also, if you know, this is by us giving away free information too, it's self-serving because it makes us feel good. I have some people call me once in a while, just randomly. And just if you got questions about debt and equity, how to structure something, give us a holler. I mean, we're always happy to kind of see what we can help out with and point people in the right direction.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. We might know somebody that has a better solution. And so, all right. Well, good luck out there, commercial real estaters.
See ya.